This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why did we agree to do this?
Why did we agree to do anything?
I hate us.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
I hate us.
Sally, you're not a collector at all, are you, of anything?
Not particularly, no. I have a bunch of Star Wars stuff, but I wouldn't call it a collection.
You know, Ralph's got an amazing Batman 66 collection. I don't really collect anything, but I never really delved into it. But there have been collections I've been impressed with. There was a guy I read about recently who has autographs from all 45 U.S. presidents, for instance. Like, to me, that's a super interesting collection.
Is it?
And I can't even... I can't imagine what you'd have to go through to get that, to collect those.
I don't care.
Okay, not at all.
Nope.
Well, the reason I bring all this up is if you are a Bruce Springsteen collector, this is the auction for you. The Ultimate Springsteen Collection.
Okay.
There is a guy who has over 300 pieces of Springsteen memorabilia.
Wow.
Including his 4F card from the draft board, excusing him from service in the Vietnam War. Lots of handwritten lyrics, including early versions of Born to Run with different words. Born in the USA, 10th Avenue Freezeouts. Also, the shirt that he wore, that Springsteen wore on the cover of the River album, is part of this collection. A driver's license, an 8th grade report card, a passport photo.
Wow.
The leather jacket that Bruce Springsteen wore on the album cover for Born to Run.
Wow.
It's kind of unbelievable that one person can get this many items together and put them up for auction. So it's a collector's dream auction. It is estimated that together this over 300 pieces will go for $7.5 million.
Wow.
No word on why he's deciding to sell now instead of keep on collecting. But we thought, you know what? What must that be like for the boss himself to see somebody have accumulated so much stuff over all this time? And how does he feel about that stuff being sold? So we asked Dave if there's any way we can get Bruce back on the line. It's always a pleasure to talk to him. Bruce Springsteen, back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, boss?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing fine. Thanks so much for joining us. This auction is getting a lot of attention online. A lot of your fans are really excited about it.
Yeah, well... I don't know how many of my fans can afford $7.5 million, you said, for this stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's what it's estimated to go. But it might be broken up. They might sell it off individually, too.
If I'd known it was worth that much, I would have held on to all that stuff.
Yeah.
A shirt and a 8th grade report card. That's crazy. I don't even know how this guy got all this.
That's
stuff.
What I'm trying to figure out is how does somebody literally get the shirt off your back after an album shoot?
It's not so much the clothing and things. You know, I see stuff pop up from time to time in rock and roll auctions, but my driver's license from 1974.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know where I put that, and now someone else has got it. It's a little weird.
It's spooky almost.
It is.
Yeah, it's a little strange thinking somebody has that kind of stuff from your life, you know.
It's personal, yeah.
It's a little stalkerish, if you ask me.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of when I was growing up in Freehold, New Jersey, there was a teenage girl that I used to look at across the street. She lived down the street from me, from St. Rose's, where the Springsteen family had their home. And I remember from my bedroom window, if I climbed out into the tree, I could see into her bedroom. And sometimes on summer nights, she would have the draperies open, the window open to let the breeze come in. Those Jersey nights can get awful humid.
Right.
So she would sometimes just be in there in her room, and she'd be singing along to the radio into a hairbrush. And
right.
I remember I had a crush on her, and I wanted to meet her, so I waited one night until she left the house, and
I hope this ends up with you guys falling in love.
She was going to the boardwalk, and I said, "Hey, my name's Bruce," and she said, "Oh, leave me alone, Bruce.
No.
I see you looking in my window." She was wearing a scarf, and I said, "Let me just have that scarf to remember you by. That's my little collectible from her." She said, "No, I'm not going to give you the scarf." So I grabbed both ends of the scarf and wrapped around her neck.
Oh, my God, Bruce.
Bruce,
why?
No, Bruce. Why did it have to go like this?
As the eyes started to bug out of her head.
Why do you always kill me?
I get...
Why is there so much murder? Come on.
I get the sense she wishes she had given me the scarf. I slowly watched her pale face droop to one side. Slowly collapse there on the sidewalk near the beach.
This is terrible.
Not as terrible as dragging her body out to the beach to dig that hole. I didn't have a shovel or anything back then. Just had to use my hands.
This is awful.
About 30 minutes. But I got that scarf.
Well, that's the important thing.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. While the boys are on vacation, I am still here bringing you hot, freshly baked show business news with the Showbiz Beat. It's a Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Spider-Man Homecoming made $117 million this weekend. Enormously fun film. I was able to check it out over the weekend. Boy, it's great. Tom Holland is just terrific as Spider-Man. It is very much Spider-Man updated for a new generation of fans. The cast looks like the United Nation of Benetton. It's just terrific, and the action is great. And you got Michael Keaton in the movie, who's the Vulture, who's terrific, and Robert Downey Jr. pops in from time to time as Iron Man. Wildly entertaining film. I understand why it made $117 million this weekend. Despicable Me 3 came in at number 2 with $34 million. Baby Driver was third. Wonder Woman, Transformers The Last Knight were the top 5 films. Cars 3 was 6th. The House, The Big Sick, 47 Meters Down, and The Beguiled were your top films at the box office. Great news over the weekend. Donald Logue's 16-year-old daughter is now safe and sound and at home. Law enforcement was able to find his transgender daughter, Jade, last Friday at a friend's home in North Carolina. This is from New York City, so it's quite a haul. But they were able to contact her. Apparently, it was the New York City Police Department, the FBI, working together for 10 terrifying days when she went missing, and they were able to find her, and now she's home. So that is great news, and I hope whatever family situation's going on there that we don't need really to concern ourselves with gets reconciled, and everybody gets as happy as can be, just like I am, at the news that the Sci-Fi Network has unveiled its lineup for Sharknado Week.
Yay!
Sharknado's coming back. Sharknado 5, Global Swarming, is coming back on August the 6th. And there's just a week full of entertaining shark movies leading up to Sharknado 5. Let's see, July 30th, I think, kick off with the five-headed shark attack, in which a five-headed shark terrorizes the open ocean and the beaches of Puerto Rico. What's that?
I said in.
You're in for that one?
Yep.
Mississippi River Sharks on Monday, July 31st. Trailer Park Shark. A tropical storm floods a trailer park and forces a hungry shark upriver on August 2nd. Toxic Shark, a poisonous shark, infests the waters near a tropical singles retreat. 5th, Empire of the Sharks. And then, of course, as I mentioned on the 6th, Sharknado 5, Global Swarming, will debut. The return of Ian Ziering, Tara Reid, of course, they'll be back as the world braces for a global Sharknado. The Pope is played by Fabio. The Queen of England, played by Charo. Portia Williams as an archaeologist, Brett Michaels, Clay Aiken, Chris Kattan, and all your favorites. So, come on. That's summer in a nutshell right there, isn't it? Don't you think?
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
I want a good movie.
Well, you'll get one. And this is exciting news, although I was very, very much enjoying Laura Benanti in her role of Allura on the CW series Supergirl. She was playing Supergirl's mother and evil aunt on that show. She has been replaced due to scheduling difficulties. Laura Benanti no longer to perform the role of Supergirl's mom. So now stepping into her place will be Erica Durance, who, of course, played Lois Lane on Smallville for 6 years. So once again, they do the right thing and pay homage to a previous incarnation of the Superman story by bringing Lois Lane in to take over the role of her mom, which is awesome because she's way hot, too. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sofia Vergara, 45 years old today. Adrian Grenier is 41 years old. Chiwetel Ejiofor turns 40 years old. And singer Jessica Simpson is 37 years old today. And she is a singer, and she's a clothing designer, very successful. But she's really best known for being a dumbass. And that's why we love her here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, Chip, give me a little something. Let's see. What do we do? How about chicken by the sea, which she didn't know was tuna fish?
Done.
All right.
Is this chicken what I have, or is this fish? I know it's tuna, but it says chicken by the sea. So stupid. What? Don't make fun of me right now. I'm not in the mood.
You act like you've never had tuna before.
I've had tuna fish, like, sandwiches and stuff like this.
Baby, you and I have eaten tuna like this before.
Why is it called chicken by the sea or in the sea?
Chicken of the sea is the brand.
Oh.
You know, because a lot of people eat tuna. It's like a lot of people eat chicken. So it's like the chicken of the sea.
Okay, I understand that. I read it wrong.
Wow. That is a special kind of dumb. That's moment with Kevin kind of dumb,
yeah.
Right? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Lame.
Hey, we called an audible, Kevin. I know Muggs is in here, but we're actually not going to do his thing.
Oh.
We're going to save his thing for tomorrow.
I'm so excited about his thing. Oh, come on now.
Because we thought...
Come on now.
And I think this might have been Dave's idea.
Wait, but what about the intervention?
It'll hold.
Oh, no, it'll hold.
It'll hold
tomorrow.
It'll hold.
Because it's somebody very special to us's birthday today, Dave thought it might be a fun experience
Dave,
for all
fired.
Of us.
Dave, you're fired.
To go around the room.
Why are all of you in here?
In tribute to the great birthday.
Intervention!
No, this isn't an intervention for Kevin. You guys. That's not what it is.
I thought we were going to do something useful
It says intervention on the schedule.
That's what I thought.
I'm sorry, it's not an intervention. But we thought it might be fun, Kevin. And tell me if you don't agree with this. In honor of your birthday, to have everybody pick their favorite moment with Kevin.
Oh, I don't. I mean, this is somehow.
Testament to your great work as a broadcaster.
I didn't realize it was a testament to my great work
as
a broadcaster.
It's a birthday tribute.
I didn't realize that's what
it
was.
Yes, it is.
As a matter of fact, as I look at the clock, I realize we're going to need two
segments.
Right?
We got no
time.
Yeah.
What?
We
really
two
are.
Segments
two
segments.
Yeah.
Two segments.
But what about all the other stuff?
Nope.
The only thing I'm sad about is that we didn't think of the moment with Kevin idea for the first, like, 10 years of this show. So there's a lot that has been lost to history, but fortunately some has remained on tape.
So this is how we celebrate my birthday.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
F all
it's
of you.
It's a present for everyone.
That's right. Everyone wins. Now, would you guys mind give me the honor of going first with Moments With? Would that be okay?
No, of course.
Sure.
It's hard to choose because there have been so many great ones, but I think I would
like
to request...
You've been there since the beginning, Bean. You saw all the baby moments with.
I put in my time.
Like on the KDOC video show and hosting Godzilla Theater and all that stuff.
Yeah. Here's the one that I gave it a lot of thought, and here's my favorite all-time moment with Kevin, and it's we just refer to it around here as the terrorist situation.
Come on now.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, in the terrorist, you know, situations or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
Is that
a moment with
Wow.
Does that qualify as a moment?
Because it does.
It's like a lot of moments.
It felt like a lot of moments were in there.
Oh, my Lord, that's so good.
It's so great, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, it's great.
Ralph Garman, your pick.
Oh, how do you choose?
Right.
How do you pick from your children which one you love the most?
I mean, you don't have to choose if you'd like to pass.
But it struck me, the one that always sounds so fresh to me and so... vibrant, even after all these years, is when we had Rashida Jones.
Oh, Ralph.
We had Rashida Jones on the show, and she had just joined the cast of The Office. And we were talking to her about joining that show, and Kevin, I thought, had a really insightful question.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second Office, when you were on the outside Office, not the one, main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Wow, we're having some fun, aren't we?
Yes! Happy birthday, buddy.
Beer Mug, I think you're next, sir.
My favorite moment with simple and so effective four words, mono osso, that's a toss-up.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Lick her bare neck than I would her boobs with a sweater over them.
Mono osso, that's a toss-up.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What does it even mean?
What does it mean? I don't know.
Great.
You're not doing good so far.
So far. The Kevin and Bean Show.
You're not doing good.
On K-Rock. K-Rock.
All right, time for the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices.
Hey, dear Kevin. Happy birthday to you.
I have the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices on my schedule.
No.
Yeah, no, we're going right. to push that.
Birthday tribute.
Tribute.
We're continuing with Moments to with Kevin. Kevin on his birthday today.
Are we still calling this a tribute?
Yes,
we are.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Allie, I think you're up next.
Here's the thing. I remember driving with my cameraman at the time. I was on the 10 freeway when we heard this. And we laughed to the point where he almost swerved. We were laughing so hard.
I wonder how many accidents Kevin's caused
I'm
over the years.
Saying.
With
how dare you?
And I laugh every time I think about this because I think I'm bad at math. But at least I can convert military time.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say
1709?
1709?
Huh? Hold on. I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But I'm
but
saying,
that wouldn't be 17 either, would
why
it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was so A Moment with Kevin.
Forgot about that one.
Holy crap.
Let's go to Grant Line 4.
I mean, I don't think we need phone calls.
He's in Grant. A lot of people are calling in with their favorites here, Kevin. Man. Grant, thank you for joining us for Kevin's birthday celebration. What's your request for A Moment with, please?
I want to hear the one where Kevin said he was shark as a tap.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Got up at 9, made my flight, came back sharp as a tap today.
That was A Moment.
Thank you,
Grant.
Could you find Blue Man Group? I think that's a classic that needs to be addressed here as well. The Blue Man Group is great. And then you hang on, Angel.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
That was A Moment
with Kevin.
You said that!
What the hell? You said it! Kevin, what do you think
How
is going on?
How did that happen?
How did that happen?
It hurts.
Honestly, I can't imagine how that happened. That's one of my favorites because there's so little time between blue and red.
It's up there with Meat Dog.
And it's in their name.
Yeah, it's like a second and a half after I say blue.
They're called the Blue Man.
Yeah, that happened, yeah.
Let's say hi to Angel.
We don't need to take
patiently
calls.
Patiently waiting on from La Puente. Angel, welcome to the Kevin birthday celebration. What's your request, my dear?
Hey, everyone. Happy birthday, Kevin.
Thank you.
My favorite moment with Kevin was just recently when he couldn't say the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
All right, we're going to play a lullaby version of a Red Hot
Chili Peppers.
Thank you.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Angel, I'm so glad you called with that because I think it's important to remember. You know, a lot of times people do their best work early and then they just kind of fade out. Right. They're not great anymore. Kevin is still great in 2017.
Yeah, it's great.
He's as good now as he was 25 years ago.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Angel.
Impressive.
He's like Bowie, right?
Yeah.
And I think Kevin has probably recorded moments with that will be played after his death. We'll probably hear fresh new mistakes that he's making now but not releasing until afterwards.
Assistant producer Christine, welcome to the Kevin birthday celebration.
What's Happy birthday, Kevin.
Thank
so
you.
I kind of got late. I chose late, and so people already chose the first, like, four that I was going
to
choose.
So we're out?
So I went in the list, and I saw one that included the word Mensa, and I listened to this, and I was like, yes!
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Chad, how long have you been in Mensa, man?
Let's see, 20 years?
20 years? When did you join?
That was A Moment.
Again, Kevin, good at math.
I didn't know that one either. It was so good.
I totally forgot that one.
Wow. Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, you're up.
The only thing better than A Moment with Kevin is when you're included in A Moment with Kevin.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, I don't even feel crappy. I feel pretty good.
So. You slept until 8, that's why.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Is that Vegas?
No, it was acoustic.
Acoustic.
Yeah.
Acoustic.
I'm very sad that we're out of time.
Oh, that's too bad. We're out of time.
But we do have Lauren and Covina.
I mean, we're out of time.
I know. I know, but this is so good. Lauren, what do you got for Kevin's birthday celebration?
Hi, Kevin. Happy birthday.
Hey, thanks.
My favorite moment with Kevin is when he said that Vanilla Ice was running around with a knife.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife, but he's running. He's going to stab people. Because he stabbed
people.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
I don't know. Let's find out. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you
house?
Talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of
stab anybody.
Screech.
You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I mean, Vanilla Ice and Screech, seriously, pretty much the same person, right?
Well, he's got a wooden hand, though, right?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
They're all doing great. Except for Kevin.
K-Rock.
It's always big news when there's a new area code in town. That happens every once in a while. How rare is it that there's a new city in Southern California?
Pretty rare.
Like, pretty much we're established. We've got the towns that we're going to have, right? Well, Northern San Diego County has officially renamed, as of May 18th, the new town of Funner.
Yay! Huh.
Funner, you guys. Funner, California is a real place that you can go to. It's 40 acres. That is where the Harrah's Casino and Resort is. And it has been renamed by the Indian tribe that owns the land, I guess. They have named it Funner. And apparently it is a marketing idea that has just caught on like wildfire. I guess it doesn't catch on. here's a little bit of the ad campaign, and wait till you hear who the mayor of Funner is.
David Hasselhoff is the mayor of a magical place, a place where fun means something funner. While most mayors give speeches, the Hoff speaks to your soul. And your soul speaks back, saying, hey man, where are you having all this fun? Funner. It's not a word, it's a place.
And we are delighted to welcome the new mayor of Funner, California. Our friend David Hasselhoff joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Hoff, how are you?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how are you guys doing at K-Rock? Love K-Rock because the Hoff loves to rock.
That's what I understand. So it's okay to call you Mr. Mayor then now,
yeah,
I guess, right?
You can call me Mr. Mayor of Funner, California.
Yeah.
Right.
I tell
you,
this Funner, it is catching fire like wildfire.
Yes.
Is it catching on fire or catching off fire, David?
Catching fire like wildfire. That's what we say in Funner, California. Come on down and get your rocks off.
Okay, that's unpleasant. All right, so the quote is, when I was tapped to run for mayor, I knew I was the guy for the job because, honestly, who's funner than the Hoff is
exactly.
what you said.
Exactly, who's funner than the Hoff? Mm-hmm. And what's funner than people telling you how fun a place is and how much fun they're having in that place? When someone just keeps using the word fun over and over again, you know that it's going to be fun. It has to be because they're saying fun so much.
Right. They couldn't lie about that.
Fun. And so, let me tell you about funner. You
yeah,
come
please.
To funner, and there's going to be we have fun enforcement officials here, and they will give you a fun citation if you're oh. having funner behavior.
Oh, like what?
No.
Like fun? What kind of funner behavior?
Yeah, what would get me a fun citation?
Oh, just having so much fun.
So, in other words, you have employees of the hotel that walk around and they see some kids play in the pool and they're just having a great time. They walk up
they're
and give them a citation.
They're fun enforcement officers. They're
oh,
not
I see.
Just guys.
Okay, I'm sorry.
They're fun enforcement officers and they give you a fun citation.
Uh huh.
When you're now, having fun at Funner,
right. So what is different about the Harrah's Casino than before you changed the name, though?
Because now we're in Funner.
Right. I understand that that's what you're calling the place where the land is. But
Funner.
But it's just a name change, right?
No, in the restaurants here at Harrah's Rincon Casino and Resort, they're going to have golden tickets.
Okay.
That will be planted throughout the restaurants, and you get a prize.
What kind of prize, Hoff?
Some fun.
Everything's fun, it sounds like.
Oh, maybe you'll get half Hoff your meal.
Oh. Okay.
That'd be a fun prize.
It would be fun.
We've got fun merchandise. Hey, Funner California T-shirts.
Okay.
Funner
All
California
right.
postcards. Mm-hmm. Funner California is fun.
It's fun. Yeah. Now, do you live there in the casino, Hoff?
I don't. I do have a house here in Funner. I call it the Fun House.
Off.
And the bartenders here create their own Funner drinks.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That's where I am now, actually. I'm at the bar here at the Rincon Casino and Hotel.
It's well, so early, though.
They were open.
Okay.
When I got here,
all
that's
right.
good enough for me.
Be careful, David.
Just sip
it. Oh, that is fun.
Sip it.
That is a fun drink right there. Mm.
Right, but you know how the alcohol hits your system
yeah.
pretty hard, huh?
Oh, that is fun. That is so much fun. I'm having more fun than anyone should have. That's funner.
Oh, it's
That's
hitting
even
quick.
Funner. The more I drink, the funner it gets.
All right.
Oh,
slow down.
Funner.
Slow down.
Oh, you slow down. I'm funner. I'm having more funner. Oh,
all right, you sound like you're getting surly.
Citation. I'm having fun. Hey, give me a citation. I'm having fun.
All right. Doesn't sound like fun anymore.
This is a mess.
Oh, no.
This is a mess. I'm okay.
So quick.
I'm okay. This is a mess. This is a fun mess.
Oh, Mr.
Oh,
Mayor.
This mess is funner.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Don't forget.
Stay with
oh,
us,
that's Hoff. Funner. Oh, that's so much funner. My liver is having so much fun.
It doesn't sound like
oh,
it.
Oh, this is a mess. This is a mess. Oh, my. Oh, fun. Oh, funner. Funner, okay. California.
Okay. All right, Mr. Mayor. Well, thank you for joining us. Have fun down there in Funner.
The Kevin and Bean Show mornings on K-Rock. K-Rock, K-Rock, K-Rock.
Sounds kind of boring.
All right, so here's the story, you guys. And look, who has this not happened to? You're married, and you're trying to take your girlfriend away on the weekend. So he's planning a holiday with his girlfriend. Well, she's planning it anyway, but he doesn't want to go. She wants to take him out to the coast, out to the beach in Western India. And he's like, I don't know what his reason was. Maybe he had something going on with his wife, but he didn't want to go with his girlfriend. So he decided that what he was going to do is get the flight canceled. And the way he decided to get the flight canceled was by making up a story that he had been in the restaurant at the airport and he had heard men discussing their plan to hijack his flight.
Oh my God. So he creates a fake email address and emails the airport and says, hey, the plane's going to get hijacked. So, of course, they canceled the flight due to an investigation, right? Mm-hmm. Well, of course, there was nothing to it. He made the whole thing up. And their investigation also included tracking the origin of this man's IP address and finding out who it was that sent the email. And then they came to his home and arrested him. So basically, he made up the hijacking story so that the flight would be canceled so that he wouldn't have to go away with his girlfriend. He lied to get out of a vacation. The other story that I just saw very recently is a woman in, of all places, Florida, you guys.
Yeah, surprise.
She is a parolee who wants to get out of a drug test because that's a thing that she has to do as a condition of her parole.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, for whatever reason, see if you can figure out why she doesn't want to take a drug test that particular Monday. What does she do? She calls 911 and makes a bomb threat into the office of the county sheriff's office. And of course, there's no bomb. And of course, they find her. And of course, now she's in way worse trouble than she would have been had she just showed up for the drug test. Why don't we try? Let's start with Vanessa. She's in San Gabriel. She's on line four.
Hey, Vanessa. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi there.
I was at work and I was hungover and I didn't want to be at work. So I went to the restroom and I pretended to faint and they called 911 and I went in the hospital for a day.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Why did they keep you for a day?
I had IVs in my arm and they wanted to test me out. They thought something was really wrong.
That's commitment.
Wow. Yes, that really, and you must have been so surprised that it didn't just involve 911, you know, sending out an ambulance and going, oh, she's fine. Let's just send her home because she's tired or something, right?
No way. I went in a gurney. There was a fire truck.
Wow. All right. Good job, I guess. Thank you, Vanessa. Let's try Cherie. She's in Orange. Up next, line three, please.
Hello there. I'm calling because I did the most ridiculous thing. I got nervous when I was quitting one of my first jobs when I was younger, and I panicked and told them that I was moving to Brussels.
Moving to Brussels?
Just to quit my job.
I mean, why wouldn't you just say Nevada or Arizona or someplace that's not California?
I was in a total, like, nervous panic.
Who pulls Brussels?
I have learned about Belgium in French class.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so I just went with it. And then I had to duck every time that I drove by.
Yeah, because that's safe.
So scared that, yeah, they would recognize me.
That's awesome. Thank you, Cherie. Appreciate that. By the way, please look at our phones and notice that it's mostly the ladies who are at least willing to fess up to making up stories to get out of something. Let's try Kathy. She's on line two. Is this true? She's calling us from Massachusetts. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay, so I told my hairdresser here in Watertown, Massachusetts, that I had to fly to Las Vegas because my mom was having surgery because I didn't want the hair appointment. And I live across the street from the hairdresser.
What?
So I hid for 2 days in my apartment so she wouldn't see me.
Hey, Kathy, yeah. Can't you just cancel a hair appointment?
I did, but I felt guilty. I felt pressured.
Guilty enough that you had to tell her that your mom was having surgery someplace else?
But she did have eye surgery, but it was an outpatient. But
oh, my gosh.
I know. That's sad, right? I couldn't even just tell her I had to cancel the appointment.
It's a hairdresser. Do you have to pay for an appointment if you cancel it? Is that what you were trying to get out of?
No, it's more so she's really nice and she makes
okay.
it. I mean, it's one of those where I don't cut my hair. By the time I leave the shop, my hair's cut. So she can guilt me into anything. So I just thought,
hey, okay, so she's a terrible hairdresser because she never does what you want. And you told her that elaborate lie to get out of an appointment.
I figured she wouldn't check to see if I got a plane ticket and was in Vegas.
And then you did the Marine crawl through your house for 2 days so she couldn't see you.
Pretty much.
You're a miracle. I love
you. Thank you. I got away with it, though.
You are making fantastic choices, Kathy. I love Kathy.
Thank you.
Hello, Bean. This email begins from Omar. One employee of mine called from home, played it out as if something really bad had happened, told me that his son had fallen down a flight of stairs and has split his head open.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't come into work. A few weeks later, I happened to ask the employee how his son was recovering, and he had no idea what I was talking about because he had made up the story. Then he recalled, laughed, and confessed that he had made up that lie to not come in because his wife said they had just gotten their tax refund and they wanted to go out and spend it.
Fire beer mug. That is Omar right again. So, yeah, I guess the moral of the story is if you're going to make up a crazy lie to get out of something, you got to commit that to memory. You got to remember that so you keep your story straight with everybody, right?
Sure.
All right. Let's try Ruben Santa Ana. He's on line 8. He's one of the rare guys calling in on this topic. Mostly it's been all ladies so far this morning.
I think guys are liars and they're cool with it.
Maybe so.
That's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, there's a lot of guilt with these women.
Ruben, hi.
Hi. So my dad and my uncle got free tickets to go see an L.A. Kiss game last year, and I was stuck at work all night.
I'm sorry, you're saying an L.A. Kiss game. Indoor football?
Indoor football, no longer a thing.
Right.
So I was stuck at work in a call center where I knew my conversation would be recorded. So me and my dad text each other an elaborate plan on how I can get out.
Okay.
And he called my work saying that he was at work earlier in the day and broke his leg, and then I had to come pick him up from the hospital, and we ended up going to the game that
he
night.
He did all that just to take you to an L.A. Kiss game?
He did, and my boss listened to the conversation before I walked upstairs when I told him that what had happened, and he was so concerned that he just let me go. They even paid me for a full 4 hours, even though I wasn't there that long.
How about that?
All right, I applaud that.
I love the fact that your dad was in on this, even in the planning stage. He was going through this elaborate plot for you.
Because it's indoor football.
It is indoor football, right.
You can't miss that.
Let's try Michelle. She's in Riverside, up next, line 5 of the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi there.
About 6 years ago, my sister actually did get into a traffic accident. She was helicoptered out, like surgery, broke both wrists, everything else.
Okay.
So about 2 years ago, I was in college. I was partying all night, and I totally forgot I had a midterm, like the very next morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I woke up in the morning still feeling really trashed, and I then emailed my professor. I'm so sorry. My sister got in a traffic accident. I need to go take care of her. And because I knew, like, all the medical terms and stuff, since it actually did happen, but it was, like, 4 years prior, my teacher totally bought it, felt so terrible. She gave me an extra week to study for the midterm.
All right.
I had to be there for my sister, and ended up passing the midterm thanks to my sister's quote-unquote.
USA!
Right?
USA!
That's pretty good.
Well done.
That's not a bad idea to keep details of a tragic family accident in your back pocket. You never know when you might need those.
Right?
Right. Thanks for the call.
Gentlemen, I don't mind telling you, I've never heard a bigger crock of bull crap in my life.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Allie, you used to be on TV.
I was.
And you know all about the snappy banter that goes on between anchors.
Oh, witty is all get out. Sure.
And the transitions sometimes can be difficult to make story to story. We have that mm-hmm. same problem here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I've been accused of screwing up a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a story from a KDKA TV in Pittsburgh about a family in Ross Township, Pennsylvania. I don't know if you guys saw this story or not, but they have an alarm clock stuck inside the wall of one of their houses that goes off every day.
Okay? Really?
Yes.
This story makes me so mad.
Really? Yeah. I'm already angry.
It makes me mad as well, too,
all right.
Because how long do you put up with that,
right?
Yeah.
And Kevin, wait till you hear how long the clock has been in there. But so let's go through the tape, and let's start with the announcers who have to figure out a way to get into that story. And I don't know why they just can't start telling the story, but here's how the tale begins.
Okay, this is a silly question, right. But have you ever been to a house where the wall suddenly started to ring?
Okay, now,
what kind of how? I'm already out.
What is
That's
he doing?
The worst.
That's amazing.
What kind of question is that?
That's the dumbest, and I love her.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard an anchor say. And she knew it was silly. She prefaced it by saying, I know it's a silly question, but seriously, how does she go through with that?
I don't know.
Okay, this is a silly question, right. But have you ever been to a house where the wall suddenly started to ring?
Now, he
should have said, absolutely. It happened 3 or 4 times.
He should have hit her in the face is what he should have done. But here's what he did instead.
No. Have you?
No.
Well, it's been happening every day for...
Every day for. Okay. I want to stop the tape right here, Kevin, because Allie knows the story. How long has the alarm clock been going off in the family's wall of their home?
And not consistently.
Every, like, 7:45.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every day at 7:50 p.m., it goes on. And, of course, you can't turn it off because it's stuck in a wall, so it just runs down, like an alarm clock does. After, I don't know, how long do they usually a couple of minutes they go?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, how long has the clock been in the wall?
All right, sounded like he was going to say 30 days, so I'm going to say 30 days.
30 days, great guess.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out.
13 years at a home in Ross Township.
What? That's why it makes me so mad.
Did he say 13 years?
He did.
13 years.
What on? How?
Let's find out.
Why?
Dave Crawley has the story.
All right. Here's the story.
All is calm in a quiet house on a peaceful street in the tranquil township of Ross.
By the way, you're going to hate this guy.
I already hate that guy.
More than you're going to hate the anger. He wants to be freaking Dr. Seuss. He's not doing the news. He's telling bedtime stories.
Until the walls come alive with the sound of...
All right, there's the alarm clock, Kevin. That's what it sounds like. Every day for 13 years.
I would put my foot through that wall.
Anybody
in the
would.
First 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A 13-year-old alarm clock.
I'll show you where this thing started out from and why it was convenient, or at least I thought it was convenient at the time.
Jerry Lynn says he dropped the clock, tied to a string, through an air vent. Set to go off 10 minutes later, it would let him know where to punch a hole in the living room wall to pass a wire through for a TV hookup.
Now, I would never have thought of that.
That's pretty smart.
Clever, kind mm-hmm. of creative when you're running a cable from upstairs to downstairs or something and he needs to line up or whatever. That makes a lot of sense. And he had it attached to a string, so he thought, hey, this is going to solve my problem. Then I pull the alarm clock out.
As I was laying it down, all of a sudden I heard it go thunk as it came loose. And, well, that's not a real problem. You know, it's still going to go off. And it did.
He couldn't pull it back up, but he figured
maybe 3-4 months, it'll run out of battery.
By the way,
how's that his first answer?
Right?
How does Jerry say, 3 or 4 months I'll put up with the alarm clock going off every day?
That's good. I'm good with that.
I mean, I do think that the next day, I think you go, look, this sucks because I'm going to have to drywall this part of the wall, but I'm going to cut through and pull the alarm clock out because I don't want it to go off again tonight.
The first thing I was thinking is maybe he's not handy with tools and stuff, but he was talking mm-hmm. about actually knocking a hole in the wall so that he could pull cable through, so he could easily have done it.
Yes, 13 years, you guys.
That is impossible.
That was in September of 2004. It is still going off every day, and during daylight savings time, it goes.
All right, how much do I hate him now?
Oh, you love him.
Now seriously.
I love
him. Seriously.
Now he's my
favorite. It goes off at 10 minutes to 8 at night, and during regular standard time, it goes off at 10 minutes to 7 at night.
Jerry's wife, Sylvia, says the sudden ring can come as a jolt to unsuspecting guests.
Is he freaking Santa Claus? What's with all the ho-ho-ho going
too
on?
Much.
And why has Jerry's wife not murdered him in his sleep?
Right, Jerry's wife.
That's what I want to know.
Jerry's wife, who we couldn't locate.
Because she's in the wall with the clock.
It starts with a soft beep, 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 and it gets louder and more closer together. And that will set people like, what is that?
You might say, all in all, it's just another clock in the wall.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I mean.
Come on.
No.
Give it up.
No.
USA.
No.
USA.
No.
Kevin.
Murder.
Telling a tale that has a familiar ring to it. I'm Dave Crawley.
I hate everybody involved in that story.
Here's the thing.
I hate everybody, but I sort of love the couple. Because
that they're not bothered by it?
That's so absurd that they would, that his first thought would be 3 to 4 months, battery will run out.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to know what battery that is.
Exactly my point. That's the only thing I want to know. Break in, I want to know that battery, and they will sell millions.
Right.
They should get a sponsorship deal. You're absolutely
right.
That's
insanity.
The face of the battery.
Yes.
It is. And now, does it get funny when it's been 30 days, Kevin? Does it get funny when it's been a year? Does it get funny when it's been 10 years?
I think it gets funny, but then it gets not funny again.
13 years?
Yeah, 13 years is insane. I mean, I'd say funny for a week, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did he say 13 years?
Yes, that's what we established, yes. Good times. It's just another clock in the wall, you guys.
It's my favorite part of the show when they have the crazies on.
I know. I feel so guilty for laughing, but it is so funny.
The Kevin and Bean
Bean Show on K-Rock.
You guys ready to welcome our new robot overlords?
It's about time.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
I mean, look, let's face it. Robots are everywhere. They have transformed the world. I mean, you can't manufacture anything without robots anymore. And now, you know, self-driving cars are right around the corner. That's a thing that's going to be happening. These are robots that are doing things humans used to do. And now there's a real-life RoboCop on duty in Dubai. Yeah, they're talking about adding robotic police officers to the force there to assist with the human cops, because there's lots of things that robots can do instead of and better than people. How about that?
I see a picture in the story of a robot cop in a mall.
Yes, you do. And he's got a little police hat on and he's saluting. And yeah, he is working at the Dubai Mall, and people can go up to him and they can ask him questions. He can provide information about services. He's got a touchscreen computer. He can also do official police business like processing fines and tickets. He can use his camera eyes to send information back to a command center. He's doing a lot of police work out there in the mall, and they're talking about expanding this program. And eventually they hope to have up to 25% of the police force will be robots.
Right. What could go wrong?
Well,
asks 700 movies in the last 30 years.
Kevin, the general director of the Smart Services Department of the Dubai Police Department, is on the line.
Oh,
I'd like you to introduce him, please.
His name is Brigadier Khalid Nasir Al-Zarouki.
I'm sure that's very close. Brigadier, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
I'm sorry, the brigadier is not available.
No.
May I take a message?
Oh, are you one of the robot police officers?
I am the Hassan 3000. Robot police officer for Dubai.
Okay. Now, my friend Kevin was just asking facetiously, what could possibly go wrong with robot police officers? What's your answer to that?
Nothing can go wrong.
Oh, okay.
I am programmed to serve. I am a helpful police officer that speaks 14 different languages.
Oh.
And I'm able to help in many different ways. I am currently on duty at the Dubai Mall.
Oh, okay.
Are you rich?
Are we rich?
Are you rich?
No.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I had a problem with my programming.
Yeah, that sounded like a problem.
That's what we're concerned about, is some sort of software mix-up and you start killing people.
I'm still processing whose human rights to respect.
I see.
Who I can simply murder.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
I don't know how it works there in
Do I hear a woman on the phone?
I'm a lady.
Hello, woman.
Hello, robot.
Would you like to join the harem of His Highness Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum?
Oh, hard pass.
But it is fun to be part of his harem.
I'm not down for that.
It is not white slavery.
It sounds like it might be.
They told me it is not white slavery.
Are you sure?
Would you like to become part of his harem?
No, thank you.
Would you like to become part of his harem?
No, thank you.
Would you like to become part of his
You're
harem?
You're wearing me down.
What's
sure.
Happening?
Oh.
Sorry. Malfunctioned again.
Oh, man.
So here's the thing about robots that concerns a lot of people, Hassan 3000, is that you're only as good as the information that is programmed into you. You don't have you can't make your own moral judgment. You just do what the people tell you, right?
I have been programmed to serve.
Okay.
Serve my masters.
All right. Oh.
My masters run the country of Dubai.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is in the United Arab Emirates.
That is correct, yes.
Which is a Muslim country.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But we are also in business with your President Trump.
Oh, you are?
And he says Muslims cannot come to your country.
Well, I mean...
He has put a ban on Muslims.
So what
He's
do you trying, do with that?
Yeah.
We are Muslims, and yet he is opening properties in Dubai.
Oh.
He is starting a Trump Tower in Dubai, and yet he has banned Muslims.
That's a little confusing.
We are a Muslim country, and yet he has banned them. And yet he is doing business with Muslims, and yet he has banned them. And yet he has banned them.
Oh, Hassan.
Hassan 3000?
My brain hurts.
I really don't like any of them. The Kevin and Bean Show.
How can you say that, bro?
So maybe they're not politically correct, but it's funny. K-Rock.
You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. While the boys are on vacation, I am bringing you live showbiz beat updates so that you're in the know as you head into work or school this morning. And also, I'm giving away some free stuff because I love you. How about this? This is, why does my voice sound weird? Is that weird to you at all?
It sounds fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
My voice sounds weird to me. Maybe it's my headphones.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it.
Sounds very odd. This is a very cool event that's happening at the Royce Hall Performance Center there on the campus of UCLA. One of my favorites. So funny. If you liked Parks and Recreation, if you saw the most recent, what was that? Naked, sexy nun movie that's been out this week. Lost Hours. Nick Offerman, the great Nick Offerman. We love Nick. He is performing at Royce Hall on October 8th.
Yay!
And if you'd like to see him, I have one pair of tickets to give away to see Nick Offerman at Royce Hall. If you'd like to go, I'm going to ask you a little trivia question. If you know the answer and you're the first person to call, and get through at 1-800-520-1067. You will win this pair of tickets to see Nick Offerman at Royce Hall on October the 8th. Here's the trivia question. Nick is a wonderfully talented and virile and handsome man, but he's also married to a very talented actress / comedian. If you know her name, Nick Offerman's wife, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call.
Hi, it's Kat.
No, not Kat. Kat is not the answer. But
Peggy Noonan.
Nope. Her name is not Peggy Noonan. She is a lovely and talented actress, singer, but she is not Peggy Noonan. Fan Bing Bing. Nope, not married to Fan Bing Bing either.
Demi Lovato. No,
that would be incorrect as well. But call in now if you know the answer. Spider-Man Homecoming was number one at the box office, as predicted. However, I don't think they expected to make this much money. $117 million this weekend made Spider-Man Homecoming the third highest weekend debut of the year. That's pretty strong. Number two at the box office was Despicable Me 3. Baby Driver was third. Wonder Woman, Transformers, The Last Knight were the top five films. Then Cars 3, The House, The Big Sick, 47 Meters Down, and The Beguiled. Those are your top films. Sad news. Nelson Ellis of True Blood fame is gone at the way too young age of 39. He died of complications from heart failure. And many of his castmates from True Blood, like Stephen Moyer and Deborah Ann Woll and Alan Ball, of course, who created the show, all were on the Twitterverse lighting up their feeds with news of his passing and remembrances. So, really, really sad news. I don't know how a man at 39 dies from heart complications, but I guess anything is possible, sadly. Here's some better news. Shia LaBeouf's in jail. That was pretty strong. I don't know if you saw the news over the weekend, but he was in Georgia. And he popped out of a bar to ask someone for a cigarette, and the mystery smoker said no. And that's when Shia unleashed a bunch of four-letter words and got aggressive with the dude in front of this woman and her kids, and she was apparently terrified, and police showed up, and he got aggressive with the police. Then he ran away. He ran into a nearby hotel. Just took off. Just hauled ass, and the cops chased him, and they found him in a hotel lobby, and he was hauled in on charges of disorderly conduct, obstruction, public drunkenness, and his performance in the last Transformers movie that he was in.
Snap.
Yeah. Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. So, not a good weekend for Shia. He's got a history, that boy, of having cocktails and then getting himself in a little bit of trouble. I can relate to the cocktail part, but it should make you happy. If drinking doesn't make you happy, then don't do it. If drinking makes you angry and ornery and you start screaming at people for cigarettes, then maybe it's not the substance of choice for you. I'm going to smoke a little something. Calm you down. Noel Gallagher. He appeared at Saturday night's U2 concert in London's Twickenham Stadium. Bono brought Noel out to sing Don't Look Back in Anger. So of course, that's the song that has been the rallying cry for the folks of Manchester since that awful terrorist attack following the Ariana Grande concert there in May. So it was a very cool moment for Bono and Noel to come out and sing that together. It was class act by U2. It's cool to see. All right, do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Andrew from El Monte was the first guy to get through with the correct answer. Andrew? Andrew?
Yes.
Hey there, buddy. What is the name of Nick Offerman's talented wife?
It's going to be Megan Mullally.
It is going to be Megan Mullally, of course, star of Will and Grace, which is returning to television soon. Congratulations, Andrew. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you've got a pair of tickets to see Nick Offerman perform live at Royce Hall in October.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. Andrew's very happy about that. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sofia Vergara is 45 years old today. Adrian Grenier is 41. Chiwetel Ejiofor turns 40 years old today. Jessica Simpson. Oh, I forgot to give Sophia a bell. Here's a retroactive bell for Sofia Vergara. And here's one for Jessica Simpson at 37. She is beautiful. She is successful. She's not smart, though.
Nope.
Listen to how not smart she is.
Can I try these? I ain't buffalo. Buffalo, idiot. Oh, my God.
Huh?
No, it's
chicken.
But it's,
why
are they
called
buffalo wings?
Baby, because...
Come on, you know it.
I don't know this.
Because barbecue wings started in Buffalo or something like that. You know what I find it weird? That buffaloes don't have wings?
I never thought about it.
Yeah, that was her discussing buffalo wings, initially saying she doesn't eat buffalo. She passed on the wings because she's not a buffalo eater. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. They're idiots.
Ralph, you seem in surprisingly good spirits today, knowing the drama at home right now.
Well, once again, you've misread the situation beautifully, Bean, because I'm devastated.
Oh.
Because my marriage is coming to an end. Because I've been betrayed. Because here's the thing. You think you know somebody. You think you live. We've been married for 12 years. We dated for two. You think you know someone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You think you know the person you share a bed with. And then you realize it's like one of those TV movies where the person ends up being a serial killer or something.
She's a serial killer?
Well, no, she's not. But it's just like that.
It's just like that.
Because,
okay.
Look, here's the thing about me.
What happened?
Like all good people, I love the Carpenters.
Like people that come to your house and fix things?
No, not the tradesmen, craftsmen, the carpenters.
The band from the 70s?
Yes, of course.
Using the word band lightly.
Well,
what? Lightly?
I mean,
it's the... Richard on piano, Karen on drums and lead vocals, which is not easy.
Right.
I'm just saying, everybody loves the Carpenters. We all meet them at Christmas time. That's how you get introduced to the Carpenters with this legendary Christmas song.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Oh, listen to that voice.
We're apart, that's true.
Where's the Christmas angel herself?
Where's the part where your wife starts killing?
So we all know that. It's a given. It's an accepted, right?
Uh-huh, right.
Because you move on then. You move on from that. You move on to something like this.
We've only just begun.
Oh, listen to the clarity, the tone.
To leave.
Okay, I'm following.
I am lifted up on wings.
I'm following. Okay.
Okay.
Shh.
So, anyway, I go about my life thinking my wife's in the same boat as me. Mm-hmm. We've listened to the Carpenters together. We've watched specials on PBS about the history of the Carpenters.
Oh, God.
We've lived a very comfortable Carpenters existence.
Who's that excited about the Carpenters?
Right? What's that?
And then next thing you know,
I'm Team Carrie.
This week,
I
get stabbed in the back.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, should we talk to...
If you want to talk Carrie, to evil...
I'd like to.
If you want to talk to evil, Mother, may I sleep with evil? Is that what you're asking?
Carrie, this doesn't sound good so far.
Oh, I feel sick having just had to listen to that music. I can't take it anymore.
How can you not love the voice of Karen Carpenter?
It's like nails on a chalkboard.
How could you have kept this secret from me for all these years?
Wait, how did it come up?
It broke like a dam out of nowhere. You're living in your house. You're going about your business. And like, oh, by the way, I never liked the Carpenters.
Is that how it happened, Carrie?
Well, yes. We were having a family dinner with Ralph and his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting at the table, and Ralph always has to put on the Carpenters for dinner.
Really?
Not just the Carpenters. I put on
choice.
I put on a music channel on DirecTV. I like a little background music for dinner.
That's bad dinner.
The Carpenters playing, and then right in the middle of dinner, you and your sister break out singing in harmony.
Oh, well, we're a brother-sister act.
And it was a dam that just burst. I couldn't take it anymore.
So
give me a little taste. Will you give me a little?
Long ago, and though so far away.
it sounds like Carrie was just filled up, just too much Carpenters over the last 14 years, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I didn't watch the special, by the way. I went upstairs and watched Anthony Bourdain. You watched the special by yourself more than once.
I was so entranced in the special, I couldn't tell whether you were there or not. I was so fascinated.
Wait, hold on. So there were signs along the way that Ralph just missed.
He chose to ignore.
But no. This is the kind of thing you tell somebody up front when you're dating, early on in the relationship.
You have to have that
conversation. If you've got that hanging around your neck, you have to come forward and say, oh, by the way, I realize this might be a deal breaker, but I am no Carpenters fan. You give a guy a heads up.
That's right up there with I don't want kids, right? It says you need to get that out of the way early.
It's important information.
Carrie, let me ask you a question. Did you ever mislead him? Just by, you know.
Good question, Kevin.
Did you ever make him think that perhaps you liked the Carpenters?
Absolutely not.
How dare you, woman?
Absolutely not. And Kevin, you know what's really weird? Is that he's upset about this.
Yeah.
But he's not upset about the fact that I did mislead him when we were dating into thinking that I slept naked regularly.
That's a whole other conversation.
And I don't. I sleep in a onesie. That doesn't bother him.
Not
but
at all,
the
right.
fact that I don't like the Carpenters bothers him.
It was naked up until the wedding, and then all of a sudden, flannel came out of the closet. All of a sudden, she's a flannel girl.
But you were willing to roll with that.
That I can put up with.
Right.
But no Carpenters? No Carpenters?
Wow.
Give me a little Carpenters. Give me a little something.
Oh, for the love.
Day after day,
that's right.
I must face a world of strangers where I don't belong. I'm not that strong.
All right.
Karen.
I'm going to be the peacemaker here. Ralph is making
You're
it
never
sound,
the peacemaker.
Ralph is making it sound like it's over, like there's no coming back from this. Carrie, are you willing to make any kind of compromises here? Are you willing to allow a little Carpenters into the marriage just to keep it going?
Like maybe a song?
How about one song on Christmas Eve, but not at dinner time?
Whoa, that seems a little stingy.
So it has to be like, it's Christmas Eve, and we're not eating dinner. Is it like 8 to midnight? Is there a time frame?
It just has to be before you start eating or after you're done.
It has to be after I've had at least 3 glasses of wine.
Okay.
I feel like one song a year is, you're not trying very hard to meet Ralph in the middle.
I feel
here.
Like she's moving a long way.
Really?
Because it's the Carpenters.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah, it's like open up a vein music, Ralph. That's, wow.
Right?
It's horrible, and they're creepy. They're a brother and sister, and
Agreed.
They write about love songs together.
There was something happening, right,
Nothing
Carrie?
Was how you don't. Yeah.
There was some ugliness there.
You make this dirty, you people are
After
bastards.
After Karen died, he went and married his first cousin.
Ew, really?
Yes.
What?
Oh.
Ew.
Richard she Carpenter, went on a deep dive.
Yeah, Richard Carpenter married his first cousin?
Yes.
Huh.
Does that change anything, Ralph?
No, give me some more.
When I was young, I listened to the radio, waiting for my favorite song.
Okay.
She has a nice voice.
Oh, so
it's fine.
Good.
It's fine.
So good.
Maybe it's even better than fine, but the music.
Oh, so good.
I don't care about the music at all.
Oh, it's so good.
Ralph, are you willing to meet Carrie anywhere in the middle? She's offered up one song a year. What are you coming back
Outside
with?
Outside of Christmas Eve dinner.
Look, if the flannels come off, I'm open to anything.
These DJs are superstars.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
You know, Ralph, we have talked about many times on this program before that it's almost impossible to do something that somebody won't take offense to on this program.
Yes, and I understand that. Not everyone is going to like everything you do.
Certainly. So yesterday, all of us were surprised when we got lashed out at on Twitter by a listener named Beth Lackey. She heard us talking to Alex Jones, quote unquote, the Infowars.com. Crusader for Justice,
yes.
That we have talked to many times on the program before. And of course, it's hilarious to us how crazy this Alex Jones guy from InfoWars is and the fact that he really is an advisor to the actual president of the United States. It's terrifying, but also hilarious because of how far out he is. He's the government is putting something in the water to turn the frogs gay guy. That's
right.
This guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And so we try to highlight his insanity and do it in a humorous fashion and using satire as a weapon, if you were, to kind
exactly.
of diffuse some of the fear that we feel with this
and
guy.
As is the case with most of the voices that we do on the radio, and we're peeling back the curtain to give you a little behind the scenes here on K-Rock, newsflash, it wasn't really Alex Jones, nor did we expect anyone to think it was. It was our own Ralph Garman doing an Alex Jones impression.
Well, that's what killed kills me. It's not that people sometimes don't like what you do or they don't agree with your point of view. That's commonplace. But for someone to be that mistaken, to think that we're actually trying to somehow perpetuate a fraud.
Right.
Trying to play off that this is actually the person we're talking to.
Right.
That's madness.
It was clearly a parody voice bit. Right.
Right.
Can I tell you what she tweeted?
Yes. What did she say, Alex?
She tweeted to Donald Trump and Alex Jones.
Well, sure. She's obviously a trusted advisor herself.
She wrote, K-Rock Radio in Los Angeles had someone impersonating you on the air this morning regarding Alec Baldwin. Not cool.
Oh.
She then tweeted, K-Rock, your morning broadcast this morning with someone impersonating Alex Jones was disgusting, leading listeners to believe it was him.
See, that's not the point at all. And we're trying to pull a wool over anybody's eyes.
Oof.
Yeah, and I'm very confused because if she's actually an Alex Jones fan and supporter, how did she not recognize that it clearly wasn't him?
Right.
It was a guy doing an Alex Jones voice.
Or if she was a Kevin and Bean Show listener and K-Rock supporter, how did she not know this is basically the same bit we do all the time with all kinds of famous people?
Or the fact that she is a fan of Alex Jones, she didn't realize what you were saying was extra crazy.
Maybe that's it. It's business as usual with Alex.
We do have a bulletin for you. Is when we spin the wheel of bad animal voices, that's Ralph too.
We're not actually talking to a fighting orangutan in a boxing ring.
All right. Hold on one second. What? Hang on a second here.
What? What's going on?
I'm being told that Alex Jones from Infowars.com is actually
He's actually
on the photo. And I don't know how
that
this is.
No, he's
how
not. This is even that's possible not possible.
That they would even know that we were talking about this. But let's see. Hello there?
That's right. I'm aware that you're talking about me. I'm aware of it. Because I know about the lies that are regurgitated over and over again by the mainstream media. I am the second most attacked man in America after Donald Trump. And I will not put up with this propaganda. And good for this woman to call you out on the garbage, scum, interdimensional demons that you are.
So just to be clear here, sir, you are actually Alex Jones. This is not a comedy bit.
This is not a comedy bit. It's not funny to me when our country is being destroyed by soulless, inhuman pieces of trash like yourself and the globalists who are trying to take over this country and to silence me and the voice that I have. Millions and millions of people listen to me to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the lies that you people try to put out on your program.
Ralph, I think you owe Mr. Jones an apology. It sounds like you've really upset him.
Well, it's not my intention to upset anyone, whether it's Alex Jones or his listeners. I'm just, you know, sometimes we get intimidated by the things you say, Mr. Jones, and so we just try to address it.
I don't care if you're scared. I don't care if you're a miserable little piece of garbage who can't handle the truth, because we're dealing with a globalist problem now. They're trying to destroy our country, and that's why they're filling the watermelons with nitroglycerin.
Oh,
okay,
no.
That's the type of thing, Alex, that you say that makes us think.
That's the kind of stuff that makes us crazy. We think, how can anyone take this guy seriously?
Well, you'll be taking it seriously when the Global Air Force, with Commander Don Cheadle behind the wheel, is dropping fruit bombs all over rural America and blowing up cornfields with the nitro-filled watermelons and the gasoline-filled cassava melons. When the Melon Patrol comes and takes you all down, you'll be sorry.
I mean, Ralph, he's got a point.
I guess if that's a danger of actually happening, we should worry about it.
You should also worry about the poison denim. When you're wearing denim and they put the poison in it, don't forget that Levi's spelled backwards, and if you mix some of the letters around, becomes civil evils, and that's why they're putting poison in the denim. So hardworking Americans who wear denim on the floor of the factories and are in the farms are being poisoned by the very denim that they wear. By the way, if you shuffle the word letters around in Levi's, it also spells out Elvis Lives. I'm not sure if that means anything, but it could. You don't know, you globalist piece of scum, you evil interdimensional demon. I will kill you. I will punch you in the face. I will break your neck and break your nose. And you will not be able to affect me because I wear a suit of armor made of pine cones.
I see that we were wrong to make fun of you, Alec.
Can't argue with that.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
K-R-O-Q.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about public proposals. Seems like most of us in the room are against them.
I mean, it just seems like a lot of look at me.
It doesn't seem to stop people from doing it. Got a lot of callers on the line. Why don't we get through them and start with La Puente's Diamond. She's on line 5, up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Diamond.
Hey, guys. I actually called my husband and told him to listen in, so he's actually listening while I tell you guys.
Okay.
All right.
Long story short, when he proposed to me, he did it at medieval times, and he was so nervous. He was so nervous to propose to me, I guess, for what my answer would be, that he got drunk off his ass, and he proposed to the wrong girl.
What?
Did she say yes?
How does he propose to the wrong girl?
Because we were in like a really long row, and he was so drunk out of his mind that when the king announced, okay, we are here with Charlie and Diamond, they are here celebrating their engagement. I didn't even get to hear that part because everybody was like trying to get his attention because he turned to the wrong girl on his left and he proposed to her.
Diamond, are you positive that that was an accident?
You know what? If it would have been, she probably would have saved me a lot of grief if she would have.
Oh no!
I'm just kidding, babe. I love you.
But how do you think? Look, it sounds like a hilarious night. You guys have a great engagement story to tell for the rest of time. But in retrospect, would you advise people to propose at medieval times? Is that what most ladies want?
To be honest, I would have preferred the original way he wanted to do it. He wanted to do it at Disneyland. During the fireworks, just me and him.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved the way that he did it because the way that I saw it, his whole family and a lot of people around us got to take part in our joy.
I'm sorry, let me just say, you love the way he did it, and he proposed to the wrong girl. That's what you're saying.
Like you said, it's an amazing story.
It's a great story.
Everybody loves it.
Thank you, Diamond. That is a great story. We appreciate you listening and calling. Let's go to Lawrence in Roland Heights. He's on line 7. He saw a public proposal, and I don't think there are going to be enough hateful words that we can say about what happened.
Uh-oh. Hey, Lawrence.
So, basically, this guy, who will remain nameless, he decided to propose at a wedding.
Oh, F you. At somebody else's wedding he proposed?
Yes, at someone else's wedding. He stopped everything to propose to his girlfriend, who happened to be one of the bridesmaids.
No.
She, of course, said no.
Good.
The bride was really upset. And as a great aside, the groom was crying like a woman at his own wedding. So I got that.
Super uncool, right?
Yeah.
You don't propose. You don't do anything to call attention to yourself at somebody else's wedding or reception. Uncool.
That's pretty sweet.
All right. Thank you for the call.
I loved it.
Let's try Shauna in L.A. line 3. I think there was a public proposal that her fiance wanted to do. Is that right, Shauna?
No, not really. We had talked about getting engaged, and we sort of knew that where that was going. But I just told him under no circumstances was he allowed to propose to me in public.
Oh, really? So you laid down the law, said you didn't want that.
Oh, yeah, because I don't need everyone else to be a part of my engagement, and
right.
I felt like it was just something between him and I.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, if you do it, I will say no. I'll marry you. I'll say yes later. But if you do it to me in public, you're getting a big fat no.
I think that's a good policy. Look, if you want to not be involved in a public proposal, let him know ahead of time. I like that.
I like that in public you're going to lie. I love that.
Oh, totally. Yes, I was like, I am so ready to just be like, nope. And then I would have looked like that embarrassing couple on the Jumbotron. So he got lucky and did it not in public and are happily
engaged. Happily ever after. Great call, Shauna. Thank you. Let's go to Valencia line 1. This is going to be Bruce. Now, we were talking, this original conversation started with a proposal that was a turndown, was a no at Fenway last week. Bruce, you saw a proposal at Dodger Stadium.
I did. It was several years ago. The kiss cam, the guy bent down, put his knee down, looked at her, handed her the ring, and she freaked out and ran up the stairs, and the camera stayed on him for a good 5, 10, 15 seconds maybe.
See, that's what the camera should do.
But, Allie, isn't this one that you're saying is just fake news?
It could be, sure.
No, it was absolutely not, because about an inning or two later, they showed him again. She put her hand up in the air with her ring on. She was crying. And she was ecstatic.
So they hired the actors for the whole game?
No. I can tell the difference between BS and real. I wasn't too far away from where it happened.
So she ran away and then she came back and said she changed her mind and yes?
No, she never said no. She freaked out and just ran up the stairs.
Oh, I see. All right, okay. She just was overcome with emotion, it sounds like.
She just, yep.
She's crazy.
She's more into the game and not realizing what was happening.
All right. Thank you for the call, Bruce. Let's do one more. Is this, it's cut off here. Is this Brother Jim on line four? Is that what I'm looking at in Venice there?
Brother kinda? JD?
Brother JD. All right. You're on the air, sir.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So anyhow, my whole theory on this proposal stuff is, you know your girlfriend, do a good job with it. Take the time, figure something out. So anyway, real quick, me and my lady, we rode the roller coaster right there at State Line at Buffalo Bills when it first opened up, Desperado. It was the world's tallest, fastest coaster back in the day we were dating. So anyway, I figured I'd ask her to marry me on that coaster going up that hill. So I called him up, and I told him, hey, how about on that steak and egg sign out front, you guys change it every once in a while. It must be pretty easy on the computer. So how about putting up there, Lexi, I love you. Will you marry me, right, as we're going up the coaster? So for whatever reason, 20-some years ago, I think it's 21 now, they said, yeah. So up that coaster I went, had the ring in my pocket. They put us up on the front. She didn't know what was going on. That's the other thing, too. Surprise effect is good, man. Don't let them know it's coming.
Okay.
So we're going up the coaster, and I had that ring in my pocket, and I was just worried for that thing to fly out. I didn't want it to fly off the coaster.
Right.
And as we're cruising up the coaster, she looks to the right, there on the sign, Lexi, I love you. And bam, she turned around and said, yep, that's us. I said, look, life's got a lot of twists and turns, ups and downs.
USA! USA!
Right?
USA!
All right. That was a private proposal and perfect, right?
I love Brother JD.
Let me tell you what, that's legendary, my boy. Legendary.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
K-R-O-Q.
Fetch that info, Bean.
Yeah. Bean looks at this as a negative. Bean thinks that we're making fun of him. But the truth...
You are.
No, the truth is that Bean has Asperger's.
Right.
And one of the things that comes with that is he can't tell if who he's talking to is at all interested in what he's saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when the songs are playing and the commercials are playing, he has what he considers conversation with the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Or another way to phrase that would be, I am a friendly coworker who enjoys fun banter with the people in my office.
Here's the first one, and this is Bean coming out of the blue. This is not weird. Hey, everybody, let's all talk about bands we miss.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I miss. And then Bean chimes in. No. We're just sitting here minding our own business, and Bean says this. Let me say something that may be controversial.
Oh, boy.
So right there, you know, not controversial.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
And I feel I may lose friends over it.
Oh, boy.
He has friends.
Here's the Shaggy Dog story. Big setup. Here we go. And here's the windup and the pitch.
And then no one says anything, and the Bean says, I really miss Haircut 100. No one says anything. They were really good. Like we couldn't get that from the sentences before.
Right.
And then no one said anything. And then Bean continues, favorite shirt? 1+1. No one says anything. And then Bean says, who's with me?
Look.
He goes on. That was 2 minutes with no one responding.
That's the give. That's your answer right there. The non-response is your answer. No one is with you. Shut the hell up.
We're talking about music that this station.
No, we aren't talking about it.
Super relevant.
We
right.
are not talking about it.
Correct. No one said a word during that whole thing.
This is conversational assault. It's like sexual assault. When you're just minding your own business, someone just starts touching you and feeling you up, like on a bus or something. You could go to jail for that. This is conversational assault. You're minding your own business. Haircut 100. It starts like skeeving all over you verbally.
That's that info game.
She needs to be in jail.
I write this stuff down word for word just to make sure that I get it right. And then I write down all the response in the room. The rule is... If it's a thanks for that info bean moment, you do not respond.
Do not
That's
engage.
Harsh.
It took
do not
Allie a while.
Engage, Allie.
I know, it's hard though.
Here's another one. Why is Michael Moore so fat? Out of the blue. It's not like we were talking about the weight of celebrities or fat. Nothing.
Zero.
He was back on my TV, right. And it's just, it's rare that you see somebody become famous and then get fatter after they're famous. Usually, once people are in the public eye, they tend to slim down a little bit.
That's that info, Bean!
Exactly.
Just a surprise.
It's usually the opposite, Bean.
I forgot to explain this to you as well, Bean, is that when we do this feature, we don't need explanation. Yeah. We all understand what you're saying.
Oh, it sounded like you did.
No, okay. No, we're saying stop saying it.
I see.
All right. We were giving away tickets for the Ducks against the Florida Panthers. Mm. So at least there was a tie-in to the day. So Bean says, wouldn't it be funny if the Ducks were playing the Carolina Panthers? Because they're a football team. So no one says anything. And then Bean follows that up with, again, like we don't get it, because they play different sports.
Holy crap.
Because they would be.
What are you, four?
That's that info, Bean.
It's like a highlights for children joke.
Wouldn't you
want...
I wasn't making a joke. I was being serious. Wouldn't you want to see the Carolina Panthers try to play hockey?
No.
What the F are you talking about?
Right?
You don't get it,
man. I like it when he starts with guys. He's trying to include all of us.
Yeah, we're all pals, right?
Guys, I'm pretty sure I'm going to buy the new Reba McEntire album. I mean, honestly, do you do nothing that you don't share?
I'm not sure.
I don't tell you what album I bought yesterday because you know why? You don't care.
Right, and you know you're aware of that.
I'm not sure.
That's that info, Bean.
Why I shared that? I take your note on that. I'm not
okay,
sure.
Good.
I'm not sure why.
Wow,
that
he took
up.
One note.
Only one solution involves a bag in a desert.
Oh no.
This was the Monday night is the Bachelor, Tuesday is the Bachelor Report, mm-hmm. And then Wednesday, Bean came in and said that he said this. Guys, I caught up on the Bachelor last night. Now, it was on Monday, and we did the report Tuesday, so why would he tell us that? So no one said anything, and then Bean says, because of Finland. Right, Allie?
Yes.
He watched The Bachelor because they took a trip to Finland.
I heard
and
on the Bachelor report that they went
that
to Finland.
Info, Bean.
So I wanted to see
that's
that.
That info, Bean.
What's wrong with that?
That's what? That info, Bean.
It's not a travelogue. It's two people standing in snow.
I just
needed a Big Bear.
Been anywhere.
I just wanted to see.
Because
just
of Finland.
All right,
we're
one
out of time.
More. I got
here.
One
Come
more,
on.
And it's a good one.
How dare you?
This is Bean getting political now.
Oh dear.
Did you guys know that Donald Trump is the first president not to have a dog in over 100 years? No one said anything, and then Bean continues. I did some research. And the last president that didn't have a dog was Woodrow Wilson. No one responds. And Bean ends it with, he had chickens.
So forgive me that y'all learned a little something that day.
That's that info, Bean.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
It's a total disaster.
On K-Rock.
You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world famous K-Rock. It is 8:54 in the morning, bringing you live showbiz news. All the boys are out on vacation. We'd love to keep you posted about all the stuff that's happening in the world of entertainment, like the top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. Spider-Man Homecoming debuted with $117 million this weekend. Pretty strong. Movie's great, by the way. I don't know if you've seen it or not yet. But it's just so entertaining. Tom Holland, great choice to play Spider-Man. Michael Keaton is terrific as the Vulture. Just top to bottom. Just wildly entertaining film. And stick around for the after credits bonus scene. You'll be glad you did.
Excellent.
Yeah. Also, Despicable Me, number two at the box office with $34 million. Baby Driver was third. Wonder Woman was fourth. Transformers, The Last Knight, came in at number five. Cars 3, The House, The Big Stick, 47 Meters Down, and The Beguiled were the top 10 films at the box office. Sad news. Nelson Ellis of True Blood fame is gone at the age of 39, passed away due to complications of heart failure. A lot of his True Blood co-stars this weekend remembering him, like Stephen Moyers, available on Twitter. You can see what he said. Deborah Ann Wall. Alan Ball, creator of the show, said, he was a singular talent whose creativity never ceased to amaze me. He was a graduate of the prestigious Juilliard School, and he is survived by his son, Breon, and his father, Tommy, seven siblings. So sad, sad news. Good news, however, is the fact that Donald Logue's 16-year-old daughter is now safe and sound at home. Jade was found last Friday morning at a friend's home in North Carolina. Apparently, the New York Police Department and the FBI worked together to find her. It took 10 grueling, I'm sure panic-stricken days for her family, but she has been found and returned home, so hopefully that'll be a happy ending to this particular story. You know, Steve-O, you know Steve-O from Jackass fame, of course. God bless him. He is clean and sober, but no less nuts. And that's the best thing of what you can say about Steve-O. He is still putting himself in harm's way for your entertainment, doing a comedy special. He decided to be a great idea to pour rocket engine fuel on himself and do a number of tricks, like laying down and making snow angels in the rocket fuel. Well, the result was severe burns on his arms and chest, which, sure, burns are great, but it's better when they lead to giant boils all over your body. Giant big yellow boils.
Yeah, dude.
Happy breakfast, everybody. If you want to check out the video for yourself, you can see it over on TMZ. Steve-O talking about the stunt and what went wrong, and you can see how hideous he is. So it's all available for you. Speaking of hideous, we have to put a stop to this. Asbury Park Press in New Jersey has announced there have been reports, there have been sightings that in Point Pleasant Beach and Asbury Park last month, the cast of Jersey Shore was seeing reunited.
Aww.
This would be a 5-year reunion for the cast of Snooki, JWoww, Mike the Situation, Sorrentino, and the others. The last season was in 2012, so this would be their 5-year reunion, if indeed it's true. And people say they have seen them together filming something.
No!
I know, right?
No!
How do we stop it? That governor, Chris Christie's just lost all control of that state. It's just anything goes there. Now it's like the Wild West. And this was bad news. Green Day was performing at a festival in Madrid, Spain, called the Mad Cool Festival. And just before they took the stage, an acrobat fell 100 feet to his death before they performed. And a lot of people said it was insensitive for the band to go on. They did go on as scheduled and play, but turns out Green Day had no idea what had happened before they performed. And Billy Joe released a statement saying, "The Green Day did not hear about the accident until after our show was over. We didn't even know there was an acrobat performance at all. These festivals are huge. There are so many things happening at the same time, it's impossible to keep up with every performer and artist. If we had known prior to our performance, we most likely would not have played. We are not heartless people." So no disrespect intended by the band. They had no idea what was happening before anything went on. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sofia Vergara is 45 years old today. Adrian Grenier from Entourage is 41 years old. Chiwetel Ejiofor is 40. And Jessica Simpson, of course, she's famous for being an idiot on television and a singer. And she's got this fashion line, which is just blowing up. My favorite thing is now she's taken to be seemingly drunk, allegedly, on the red carpet when she shows up from time to time. It's wildly entertaining to hear a dumb girl who seems like she's had too many cocktails. But don't take my word for it.
Right now, I am starting a record, and I am getting into a lot of other fun things. Mm-hmm. Fashion will always be a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And it literally, like, if I'm not wearing a good outfit, I can't sing a good song. Mm-hmm. So, it really all kind of just works together. And right. I have a recording studio mm-hmm. in my house so I can be around my babies
right.
as well.
Okay.
And they might try and sing over me.
Okay.
They won't be my background vocalist. Uh-huh. They'll, be, they'll be up front and personal.
Can we stop asking her questions? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do it.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Sounds like diarrhea to me.
K-Rock.
I don't watch Good Morning America.
For good reason?
Apparently I'm making the right decision based on this breathless tape that we have. Now, Allie, you say this is Laura Spencer?
Yeah.
This is big news. She's excited.
Apparently she is excited, and apparently it is big news. Let's see what she had to say yesterday.
More than five decades after we first met Barbie's guy Ken, Mattel is announcing a new diverse line of Ken dolls featuring three different body types, including broad, slim, and original. There are seven different skin tones. I know it sounds like takeout food. There are seven different skin tones to choose from and nine different hairstyles, and there's even
a man bun.
Has a man bun, which I am looking at right there. And a very un-Ken-like outfit. All of these guys are sporting their own styles. The iconic brand is releasing 15 dolls in total.
Wow, it's like she's announcing a terror attack or something, isn't it?
It kind of is.
I mean, that's sort of, yeah. Have you seen Man Bun Ken?
Yeah, Man Bun Ken is a new thing. I mean, I guess little girls want variety, right? They want to be able to choose whatever their fantasy is, whatever their dream situation is for their Barbie doll. They want to be able to pick the Ken that they like, I guess. So it's definitely different to see all these new Ken dolls yesterday. So we wanted to find out more about this story. So we asked Dave if he could line somebody up from the Mattel Toy Company, and the communications director of that company, Alan Mastow, is on the phone right now. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you fellas doing today?
Very good. Thank you.
Outstanding. Well,
congratulations on the big news. A lot of talk yesterday about the new Ken dolls.
Yeah, a lot of people are very excited about the new Ken dolls, and I have to say we are also very excited. 15 new Ken dolls. As they mentioned, seven different skin tones, nine hairstyles, three different body types. It's an exciting time for Barbie, and we're happy to be reinventing both Barbie and Ken for a new generation of kids that will be entertaining for years to come.
All right, now let me ask you about those body types, because I get the impression that they're, now you can get a fat Ken.
Okay. Okay. Steady. No, these are three body types, slim, broad, and original.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So broad is not fat.
Broad is larger than original and slim.
So fat-ish.
Not fat really at all, just broad.
Just broad shoulders, that type of thing.
Broad hips, broad gut.
Okay.
Broad ass, broad thighs.
So fat?
Yeah, sounds like fat.
No, broad, we did the research, and broad is a much more acceptable term.
I see.
Oh,
I see.
That makes sense.
And this is nothing new. Last year, we rolled out the new body types for Barbie as well, mm-hmm. the tall, curvy, and petite additions to Barbie.
Okay.
And so we needed to find someone who would date curvy Barbie. We had to create broad Ken,
Alan,
who apparently his standards are a little lower.
Oh, Alan, I'm sure slim or original would date curvy Barbie.
Not according to our research. We have a hard time getting them together.
Really?
Now, Alan, I have to be
honest. We're having a hard time finding any Barbie who'll date man bun Ken. So
I was going to ask.
It all works out at the end, I suppose.
A lot of people were questioning the decision to make a man bun Ken, because that does seem like a trend that we're all hoping doesn't stick around, but you guys are going for it, huh?
Listen, we have to give the kids what they want, you know, and the kids wanted a man bun, they wanted cornrows. It's a new Ken for a new era, and whereas you may not think it looks good, Grandpa, we think the kids are really responding to it, and there's a lot of new Kens that maybe you wouldn't like that they do. EDM Ken, one of our new Kens.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Off the shelves. He's got a different girlfriend. His girlfriend's named Molly. We got Bro Ken. Bro Ken just spends most of his time hanging out with other Kens, talking about Barbie, but never really dating her.
Right.
Bill sold separately. And we have Mansplain Ken.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Where Ken just interrupts Barbie all the time to tell her everything he thinks she doesn't know about her dream car.
I see.
Barbie just doesn't get it in his eyes, really.
Sure. So
these are the Kens. And let's keep in mind, girls buy one Ken for every seven Barbies that they buy.
Oh.
So start buying, girls. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Who cares?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.